Mommy, yells Lucy, bounding in ahead of everyone else. Come over to this side, says my mother. Come on up, I say, patting the space of bed next to me. Lucy climbs up over the rail and onto my lap. She's wearing her winter coat over her little mermaid nightgown, her sneakers with the heels that light up with the impact of each step, and her pink fleece hat. I give her a huge hug, and she squeezes me tight, her small hands wrapped around the back of my neck, her face pressed against my chest. I exhale a blissful, mmm, the same sound I make when I smell bread baking or I've just eaten a sinful piece of chocolate. Her hug is that scrumptious. Then she sits back, just a few inches from my face, and studies me. Her eyes light up. We match, Mommy, she says, delighted by my pink ski hat, just as my mother predicted. We're so fashionable, I say. Hey, babe, says Bob. The rest of them file in. They're all wearing hats. A Red Sox cap on Bob, a navy blue bomber on Charlie, an ivory knitted skull cap on Linus, who is asleep in his bucket car seat, and of course, my mother, the Mad Hatter. Such a brilliant idea. Now the kids won't pay any special attention to my head. I toss Bob a grateful smile. Where's all your hair? Lucy asks, concerned and puzzled. So much for that theory. I had to get a really short haircut, I say. Why come? Because it was too long. Oh, I liked it too long. Me too. It'll grow back, I assure her. I wonder when the left will grow back and wish that I had a similar level of confidence in its return. Is this where you live now? She asks, still puzzled and concerned. No, sweetie, I live at home with you guys. I'm just staying here for a little while for a special program to learn some new things. It's like school. 'Cause you banged your head in the car? I look up at Bob. I don't know how much detail he shared with them. He nods. Yes. Hey, who painted your pretty nails? Abby, she says, now admiring her pink fingers. She did my toes, too. Wanna see? Sure. I look to Charlie as Lucy starts undoing her laces, bracing myself for the more sophisticated cross-examination I assume is coming. He'd normally see straight through the gaping holes in my political candidate answers to Lucy's flimsy interview and sink his teeth into the interrogation. He'd tear apart my lame haircut story like a hungry pit bull with a juicy steak. But instead, he's standing in front of Bob and staring at the floor. He won't look at me. Hey, Charlie, I say. Hi, Mom, he says, arms folded, still looking down. How's school? Good. What's new? Nothing. Come here, I say, extending my arm, inviting him in. He shuffles forward a couple of measured steps and stops at a distance from me that can just barely be considered here. I pull him into me, and because he's still looking down, I kiss the top of his blue hat. Charlie, look at me. He does what he's told. His eyes are round and innocent, worried and defiant, framed by those thick black lashes. It's so unfair that Lucy didn't get his eyelashes. Sweetie, Mommy's fine. Don't worry, okay? He blinks, but the worried defiance hanging in his gaze doesn't budge an inch. I'm selling a lie, and he's not buying it. Some child expert once said, or I read somewhere, that parents should never lie to their kids. I've never heard of anything so ridiculous. This so-called expert clearly doesn't have an inquisitive child like Charlie. Come to think of it, this expert probably doesn't have any children at all. There are days when I've had to dodge, fib, and outright lie a dozen times before breakfast. What are weapons of mass destruction? What are you and Dad fighting about? Where do babies come from? What is this? Holding a tampon. The truth is often too scary, too complicated, too adult for kids. And lies are often the best parenting tool I've got. I have eyes on the back of my head. Your face will freeze like that. This won't hurt. Spider-Man loves broccoli. Here, this spray bottle full of water. We'll kill the monsters in your closet. In a minute. Then there are those white lies that encourage and protect what is wondrous and magical for kids. Santa Claus, the Easter Bunny, the Tooth Fairy, Disney princesses, Harry Potter. I don't want to know the parent who tells a 7-year-old there are no such things. The truth is, there is no Santa Claus. There are no wizards. Parents pay cash for baby teeth, and pixie dust is store-bought glitter. There are people in this world who hate Americans and are this minute plotting ways to kill us all. And I insert that tampon into my vagina to absorb blood when I have my period. The cold, hard truth for kids needs to be wrapped in a warm and silky soft blanket of lies. Or in this case, in a hot pink fleece ski hat. Honestly, Charlie, I'm fine.
See? Says Lucy, pointing her toes in the air like a ballerina.
Her toenails are painted a rebellious metallic blue.
They're lovely,
I say, lying.
Where's Linus?
He's on the floor next to me, says Bob. Can you lift him so I can see him? I wait, and nothing happens. Bob, can you lift him up? I did, he says quietly. His face registers my neglect.
Lucy Goose, will you hop down for a sec? I ask.
She crawls down to the foot of the bed, which is good enough, and Bob places the bucket car seat on the bed next to me. Linus is sound asleep, breathing long, deep breaths, the nipple of his nookie propped against the roof of his open mouth, such that it is kept dangling in position, ready for sucking. Thank God he's figured out how to do this. I love how his cheeks, which are like plump, ripe, delicious peaches begging to be pinched during the day, sag well below his jawline when he sleeps. I love his clenched hands, the dimples he has instead of knuckles, the creases of his chubby wrists. I love the sound of his breathing. God, I could watch this show all night. I want to hold him, I say.
You don't want to wake him, Bob warns.
I know, you're right. I miss holding him, I say.
Mommy, I want to sit with you, says Lucy.
Okay, I say. Bob removes Linus and Lucy resumes her spot on my lap.
Will you read to me? She asks.
Sure, sweetie. I miss reading to you at bedtime. Bob came prepared with bedtime books and hands me a Junie B. Jones, Lucy's latest favorite series. I open to the first page of the first chapter. Chapter 1, Confusing Stuff. Huh. The title couldn't be more accurate. This page makes no sense whatsoever. B stands for I just years old. When you get to go to last summer, mother took enrolled me grown-up word for signed made me go. I keep going over the page like a rock climber stuck on a precipice, looking for the next foothold, not finding one.
Come on, Mommy. My name is Junie B. Jones. The B stands for Beatrice, but I don't like Beatrice. I just like B, and that's all.